This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia reaffirms commitment to strengthen biological weapons convention. Indonesian government prepares new ministry for Hajj and Umrah. Now, the news in detail. Indonesia reaffirmed its commitment to strengthening the Biological Weapons Convention during the sixth session of Working Group on Strengthening the BWC held at the United Nations Office, Geneva, from 11th to 22nd August 2025.
The charge the affairs at interim of the Indonesian mission in Geneva, Ambassador Aksanul Habib, emphasized that Indonesia remained committed to strengthening the Biological Weapon Convention. He delivered this statement at the sixth meeting of the Working Group on Strengthening the BWC held at the United Nations headquarters in Geneva from 12 to 22 August 2025, and a statement from the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs received in Jakarta on Monday. He stressed that the national implementation of the Biological Weapon Convention is a continuous process and must be adjusted to the context of the each country.
There is no single model that fits all, yet incremental improvement supported by sustained cooperation will strengthen global biosecurity. States cannot implement the BWC in isolation. Effective information sharing, targeted technical assistance, and robust confidence-building measures are essential to achieving full compliance.
In this meeting, Indonesia also shares its views on various agenda items, including international cooperation, development in science and technology, transparency and confidence building measures, compliance and verification, as well as national implementation. Indonesia was also interested as one of the facilitators on the issue of the national implementation, playing a role in assisting the chair of the working group in drafting recommendation that includes strengthening national regulation, capacity building, and providing technical support at the international level. Desiano Grano, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia aims to complete electrification in thousands of villages and hamlets that currently lack electricity by 2030. Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Bahlil Lahadalia stated that this program is a national priority with support from the state budget and will be accompanied by energy subsidy that will begin in 2026. More details will be provided by Rizka Fadila.
Indonesia Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Bahlil Lahadalia stated that the government is preparing to complete the economic programs delayed in 2025, while also designing the 2026 outlook to boost national growth. It also aims to complete the electrification program for villages that currently lack electricity by 2029 to 2030. He revealed this after reporting the economic program to President Prabowo Subianto in Jakarta.
From the energy perspective, we will try to build 5,700 villages and 4,400 hamlets that haven't got electricity. And we will finish by 2029 and 2030. The target is that everything must be finished.
Minister Bahlil affirmed that the program funding will come from the state budget, starting with the 2025 budget revision and continuing into 2026. According to him, the president ordered the state to be directly present to serve the needs of the common people because the provision of electricity cannot be calculated solely from economic profit perspective.
Starting 2025, in the budget revisions and included in the 2026 state budget, because that's for public service, right? Because of what? Earlier, we reported to the president, Mr. President, this is about the common people. We can't calculate this economically, so the presence of the state is needed, and the president directly ordered the allocations of funds.
Besides electrification, Bahlil also explained the energy subsidy reform that will be implemented starting in 2026. Subsidies are still commodity-based, particularly for diesel fuel, with a quota control mechanism using single data from the Central Bureau of Statistics, or BPS. Rizka Fadila, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia is stepping up efforts to achieve food self-sufficiency by expanding farmland and launching market operation to stabilize prices. Indonesia's Minister of Agriculture stated in a press statement at after a meeting at the Presidential Palace Complex, Jakarta, Monday. Raditya has the report.
On Monday, August 25, 2025, Indonesia's Ministry of Agriculture, Amran Sulaiman, revealed that Indonesia is accelerating its land optimization program through the expansion of new rice fields. It will strengthen national rice production and ensure food self-sufficiency.
Kalau cetak sawah selesai,
if the rice field expansion is completed gradually over three consecutive years, this will ensure future self-sufficiency is sustainable.
At the same time, large market operation is underway to control prices.
Dan beras yang kita siapkan,
we have prepared 1.3 million tons of rice for stabilization of food supply and prices. By December, we are targeting a steady decline in rice prices. Today's distribution is at 6,000 tons per day, and soon we aim for 7,000, eventually reaching 10,000 tons daily in the future.
According to Minister Amran, Indonesia's rice reserve now stand at 3.9 million tons, enough to keep stock safe even after the market operation. With year-end level expected between 2.5 to 2.7 million tons. Raditya Arif Putrasetiawan, Voice of Indonesia.
Telemedicine is seen as a key solution to address health inequality, especially in Indonesia's frontier, outermost, and least developed regions.
At the sharing session NLP Research Group 9, Digital Health Service Platform for Everyone and Everywhere in Bandung on Tuesday, experts highlight the role of digital health platform in bridging healthcare gaps. Head of the Research Organization for Electronics and Informatics at the Indonesian National Research and Innovation Agency, or BRIND, Budi Prawara, highlighted the role of technology in improving healthcare. He illustrated how digital innovation could help strengthen equal access to medical services.
Imagine a platform where a farmer in remote Papua can consult with a specialist in Jakarta, where AI-powered system can provide preliminary screening, where natural language processing can break down language barriers, and where all stakeholders like patients, healthcare providers, and administrators work seamlessly within an integrated framework.
Meanwhile, Professor Shin Bong-ki from Pukyong National University, South Korea, underscored the importance of expanding healthcare access. He stressed that medical services must reach all communities, including those in rural and remote areas.
But we need healthcare for remote corner people in remote and rural areas as well. That's the point I want to emphasize.
According to the Indonesian National Research and Innovation Agency, Indonesia's geography with over 17 islands present major challenges for equal healthcare access. Ensuring fairness in health services is therefore not only an aspiration, but also an urgent necessity. Hasna Nur Afifah, Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government is preparing to transform the Hajj and Umrah Management Agency into a new ministry. Minister of Supratman Andi Aditas said the move aims to ensure more transparent and integrated services. He explained the plan after a meeting with Commission 8 of the House of Representatives. Ofra has the detail.
BPH, Badan Penyelenggara Haji dan Umroh yang akan bertransformasi menjadi kementerian yang akan menjelaskan.
Indonesian Minister of Law Supratman Andi Aktas affirmed that the government will upgrade the Hajj and Umrah Management Agency into a new ministry so services can be more transparent and better integrated. After a meeting with Commission's 8 of the House of Representatives on Monday, he stated that all factions agreed to continue the discussions of the Third Amendment Bill to Law Number 8 of 2019 on the organizations of Hajj and Umrah.
The main point is, hopefully, with the establishment of this ministry, the organization of Hajj and Umrah will become easier and smoother. All technical matters will later be handled by the Hajj and Umrah Management Agency, which will transform into a ministry to explain everything clearly.
This decision is also reinforced by the House Commission's 8th Chairman, Marwan Dasopang, who said that all factions and the governments unanimously approved that bill to move forward to the next stage.
Tadi sudah diambil.
The decision at the first level has been taken. There were no notes from the faction or the government. Everyone agreed to bring it to the next decision-making stage.
Pengambilan keputusan berikutnya.
Once passed in the plenary sessions, the government will prepare presidential regulations as the legal basis for establishing the Ministry of Hajj and Umrah. Ofra Regina, Voice of Indonesia.
That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Now, today's commentary.
The Indonesian House of Representatives and the government have agreed to transform the Hajj Organizing Agency into a ministry in the draft law on the Third Amendment to law concerning the management of the Hajj and Umrah pilgrimages. This agreement was reached during a meeting of the Hajj Bill Working Committee on Friday, August the 22nd. As a country with a majority Muslim population, the establishment of a ministry to manage the Hajj and Umrah pilgrimages is quite natural. There are many pressing issues that must be addressed regarding the hundreds of thousands of Indonesian pilgrims who depart for the Holy Land each year. Among them is the long waiting time for prospective pilgrims, which can reach dozens of years. Many only get the opportunity to depart when they are very old, thus facing various obstacles. The establishment of the Ministry of Hajj and Umrah Management must be realized no later than 30 days after the law comes into effect. However, the ministry's full establishment still requires time due to the development of its organizational structure and authority. Meanwhile, the House of Representatives fully supports the transformation of the Hajj Management Agency into a ministry as proposed by the government. However, this change doesn't necessarily eliminate the Ministry of Religious Affairs function as an institution that manages domestic religious affairs. The establishment of the Ministry of Hajj and Umrah Management will shift the ministry's focus more on religious affairs within the 5 officially recognized religions. Although the Hajj and Umrah are part of the Islamic faith, their implementation involves many complex aspects, such as direct cooperation between countries, in this case the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. It is hoped that changes in the implementation of the Hajj will be related to the Sharia principles of the Hajj ritual itself, such as the age at which people become obligated to perform the Hajj. Furthermore, its implementation will be more professional, ensuring the safety and comfort of pilgrims. That was commentary.
Listener going to culinary tour to Banyuwangi, East Java, you should come to Wit-Witan Market, the traditional market which becomes one of favorite places in Banyuwangi. Is located at Alas Malang Village, Singojuru Sub-District, Banyuwangi. The market opens every Sunday morning, starting from 6 until 10 a.m. local time. Under the shady tree, you can enjoy various traditional culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as Geseng Bangsong. Geseng Bangsong is a typical food of Wijenan Kidul Hamlet, Singolatren Village, Singojuru Sub-District. Thank you. The Sang Nang Song is a special menu and rarely found, which is made from duck meat as its main ingredient and wadung yang leaf that adds a unique sour taste. Wadung tree is many found and growing wild at the village. Besides giving sour taste, wadung leaf is also used to remove fishy smell from duck meat. The duck must be the big one, so it is usually used male duck for cooking geseng bangso. Besides wudung yang leaf, this culinary is also cooked with other spices such as cayenne, onion, and garlic. Geseng bangsong has savory and spicy taste. Spicy taste mixed with sour taste certainly produce delicious food. In Banyuwangi, the food is usually served when Islamic events being conducted, such as the birth of Prophet Muhammad, Eid al-Fitr, and Eid Adha. But now, geseng bangsong can be found at Witwitan Market every Sunday. The price of the food is affordable, which is around 20,000 rupiah to 25,000 rupiah per portion. In addition to taste geseng bangsong, you can also enjoy other typical culinaries of Banyuwangi such as rawon alas, sego cawu, as well as traditional snack such as tiwul and gatot, which is made from cassava. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Purisa Fridella. Thank you for listening. going to culinary tour to Banyuwangi, East Java, you should come to Wit-Witan Market, the traditional market which becomes one of favorite places in Banyuwangi. Is located at Alas Malang Village, Singojuru Sub-District, Banyuwangi. The market opens every Sunday morning, starting from 6 until 10 a.m. local time. Under the shady tree, you can enjoy various traditional culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as Geseng Bangsong. Geseng Bangsong is a typical food of Wijenan Kidul Hamlet, Singolatren Village, Singojuru Sub-District. Geseng Bangsong is a special menu and rarely found, which is made from duck meat as its main ingredient and wadung yang leaf that adds a unique sour taste. Wadung tree is many found and growing wild at the village. Besides giving sour taste, wadung leaf is also used to remove fishy smell from duck meat. The duck must be the big one, so it is usually used male duck for cooking geseng bangsong. Besides wudong yang leaf, this culinary is also cooked with other spices such as cayenne, onion, and garlic. Geseng bangsong has savory and spicy taste. Spicy taste mixed with sour taste certainly produce delicious food. In Banyuwangi, the food is usually served when Islamic events being conducted, such as the birth of Prophet Muhammad, Eid al-Fitr, and Eid Adha. But now, geseng bangsong can be found at Wit-Witan Market every Sunday. The price of the food is affordable, which is around 20,000 rupiah to 25,000 rupiah per portion. In addition to taste geseng bangsong, you can also enjoy other typical culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as rawon alas, sego cawu, as well as traditional snack, such as tiwul and gatot, which is made from cassava. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Purisa Fridella. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Every region in Indonesia must have special foods that characterize the area. So must Manggarai. It has a variety of culinary heritage. One of the most popular souvenirs from Manggarai for us is kompiang cake. Kompiang cake is also known as kompiang longa. This typical cake of Flores looks like round or oval and has a brownish color topped with sesame seeds. The word longa in the Manggarai Flores language means sesame. That is why this cake is called kompiang longa. Listeners, kompiang, which is an adaptation of mainland China, was initially only served at family events. But now this cake has become more famous and has become Flores' typical souvenir. Kompiang is appropriate to enjoy for breakfast and a cup of hot coffee. You can easily find it in traditional markets, Flores' typical souvenir centers, and even in roadside coffee shops. Kompiang is almost the same size as a tennis ball. Kompiang can last for 3 days at room temperature and even 1 week when it is stored in the refrigerator. For each portion, kompiang costs 1,000 rupiahs.
More from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Yeah. Menari-nari kita terus menari meski hujan rintik turun. Mengalun-alun bersama alunan angin malam berpelukan.
Denganmu
berbagi senyuman.
Denganmu
oh, oh, oh. Melayang-layang kita terus melayang meski langit tanpa bintang. Mendayu-dayu suara daun yang berjatuhan bermesraan.
Of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish,
Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Galuhung punya tiga pendirian ialah satu, galuhung terpak bertarung. Kalau bahasa Sundanya, galuhung terpak galung.
Galuhung has three foundations. First, galuhung is a place for fighting. In Sundanese language, galuhung is the place for galungan. Secondly, it's galuhung herin ku tangtung. This means that many people flock to Galunggung overseas. Galunggung ngadep, Tumenggung means standing as regent, but we have no idea when ngadep Tumenggung happened. From there, the second one happened when Galunggung herin Kutangtung. This means that human beings flocked to Galunggung in the past. Before eruption, who climb to the crater, the local people took a walk to the forest, made a visit of pilgrimage. Only some villagers knew. After Mount Galunggung erupted in 1982, many domestic and foreign people climbed it. That was a story about Mount Galunggung, which was explained by Bapak Sumantri, a public figure at Mount Galunggung. He is a historical witness of the eruption. Until now, the mountain becomes a tourism object in East Priangan, West Java Province. Mount Galunggung tourism object is developed by state-owned enterprise, Perhutani, and tourism office around 1997. This was explained by Suhara, staff of Perhutani Management.
Jadi dikembangannya itu setelah bencana alam.
Pertama pengelolaannya
the tourism object was developed after the first natural disaster. The management, which I know, was managed by the village. There is hot spring and ex disaster, which now becomes Crater Lake. It becomes attraction for visitors. So it was opened by the government of the village. If not mistaken, by village, Community Resilience Institute, and it kept being developed in 1997 and has been developed by Tourism Office and Perhutani. Do you know or visit Mount Galunggung? Mount Galunggung is an active volcano with around 2,100 meters high above the sea surface. The last time the mountain erupted for around 9 months, starting from April 5, 1982, and ended on January 8, 1983. Therefore, Indonesia is one of countries which almost its territory enters in Pacific Ring Fire. So, no wonder there are many active volcanoes in some islands. Thus, the existence of volcano does not only leave tragedy, but also becomes tourism object which contributes foreign exchange through tourism sector. Now, Mount Galunggung in Tasikmalaya, West Java, rises up as tourism destination recommended to be visited, especially for mountain tourism lovers. About tourist visit so far, Ibu Oem, a food vendor at Mount Galunggung, has her own experience.
Hari-hari tertentu aja, hari-hari Idul Fitri.
On a certain day, at Al-Fitr, New Year, or commemoration of the Indonesian independence, on a Saturday and Sunday is the most crowded. I also have foreign customer, friends, who often comes here. If in Indonesia it is dry season, the friend certainly comes here with a guide from Jogja. To get the crater, which is in the main point of Mount Galunggung tourism object, we must climb hundreds of stairs. This is quite exhausting. An officer of the entrance ticket of Mount Galunggung, Sofyan, explained that there are two sides of stairs. The yellow one consists of 620 stairs, while the blue one is 520 stairs.
Yang tangga ini 97, kalau yang tangga biru mah dimulai tahun 93.
The yellow stairs was made in 1997. The blue one was made in 1993. The blue stair has inauguration monument. The first stair is over there. The new one is here. Earlier, people paced on the sand here without stair. After arriving at the crater of Mount Galunggung, that you struggle to climb hundreds of the stairs will be paid off by presenting the beauty of nature of the mountain's peak. In addition, there is uniqueness which cannot be found at other volcanoes. This means that there is no smell of sulfur and the crater of Mount Galunggung looks like lake. The lake's water of the crater, if it is seen by naked eyes, has green color, as if there is no life in it. But, in fact, it becomes habitat for fish and other water biotas. Sofyan explained as follows.
Awalnya kan yang nanam tuh istilahnya ngetes kadar air awal-awalnya.
Earlier, someone checked and tried to put the fish into the water. In fact, it resulted in a lot of fish. This means that it's safe for residents. Today, many people outside the region do fish farming. There is also from Banten. Now there are people who farm fish and also do fishing. There is golden fish, mujair, perch fish. Usually Sundanese people farm perch fish, cork, pomfret, and also gurame. Many people set tents to stay at night, especially on Saturday night. There are 100 people who stay at night, but on weekdays only there are several persons. Now to set a tent is centered. In the past, they could set a tent on the edge of the lake while fishing. the present demand for selfie or taking picture of every activity with amazing background, tourism office and Perhutani provide various spots at the crater of Mount Galunggung. Take for example, we can try position at the commemoration monument of Galunggung eruption or view desk that is located between blue and yellow stairs. The road to Mount Galunggung has been paved and this makes visitors easy to get the blue or yellow stairs. Development of Mount Galunggung tourism object is also supported with the existence of integrated East Priangan tourist package. Head of Youth, Sport, Culture and Tourism Office of Tasikmalaya, Undang Hendiana, told Voice of Indonesia team.
Tentang city tournya ya bisa ke kabupaten, bisa ke Pangandaran. Makanya
about city tour, we can go to Regency or Pangandaran. Therefore, we initiate cooperation with head of region in East Priangan and it has been signed. So it must have integrated tourism package. Although visitors stay at night in Tasikmalaya, they visit Galunggung. Undang Handiana views that tourism does not need to be limited with regional administration. Therefore, with the existence of the integrated tourism package, he hopes that Mount Galunggung can become the mainstay tourism object that has its own characteristics.
VOI listeners, thank you so much for staying with us through the 6 hours of broadcast of Indonesia Today, the afternoon session. And now I'll be ending the session with signing out, but not to forget, I will always, you know, mentioning our social media, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram and TikTok, VOI _ official. And if you want to send us email or WhatsApp, you can absolutely check out our email, voilisteners@gmail.com and WhatsApp +62 821 238 12130, +62 821 238 12130. And now that's the end of today's Indonesia Today on afternoon session with me, Unika, as your host. Signing out, bye-bye.
Kau hal yang tak mungkin aku lewatkan di dalam hidupku, meskipun ku tak
kau ada dirinya di dalam hidupmu. Takkan ku berhenti hingga kau denganku. Bila ku harus menunggu seribu tahun pun tak harus menanti, hati ini kan terkunci hingga tiba saat kau datang nanti. Kaulah wanita yang aku tunggu seumur hidup. Harus menunggu seribu tahun pun kan